Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Happy Monday to you all. This is Dave Lincoln. Good to have you on the program today. It's Monday, November 23rd. I always put a date in there because you can go online and download this program after the fact and listen to the content over and over. Download it to your iPod. Download it to your PC. Put it in an email. Forward it around. Get others in the industry listening to this hot program that brings you, the mortgage industry participants, current relevant information of what's going on in the industry. Each week, we start off at the top of the hour with the hottest topic that remains forever. It's kind of like the weather. We're not talking about the weather, but we're talking about something that's definitely in the climate today, and that's rates. Joe Farr of MBS Quoteline, welcome to the program. So good to have you as a regular guest bringing this information to us each week.
Thanks, Dave. Take it away, Joe.
What's going on in the world of rates?
Well, rates are up. Not rates. Prices are up. Rates are down. We have been running about 3 or 4 30-seconds above where we ended the week last week, and that's a good bit higher than where we began the day today. And so we've issued an alert to our subscribers to say we think favorable price changes are possible. And so I put that out to all you listeners out there, too. You know, as the market's getting better during the day, it's good to know and be able to anticipate what changes might come from that.
Well, that's what's so interesting about it as well, Joe, is that, you know, the equities are moving to higher ground as well. So, I mean, that's usually they work countercyclical to each other, which is, again, we're watching another week in which equities, the stocks specifically, are moving in unison with, or pretty close to unison, or at least in the same direction as
mortgages. Yeah, and the odd thing today is the treasuries are headed the other way. The prices are going down. So, you know, who's to figure out this market? Some of it has to do with the dollar, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But today, so far, we had a very good existing home sales number come out, much better than expected. And you know, I think everyone's analysis of that will say that it has to do with the buildup of closings in anticipation of what was going to be the tax credit expiration date coming up at
yep.
the end of November. But good nonetheless. We like seeing those transactions. And then we have a treasury auction that's probably being announced right now. In fact, I'm going to have a note delivered to me as soon as that announcement's made so we can report on that. It's a two-year auction, so it shouldn't be too heavily influencing the mortgage market because it's a short duration instrument. But important nonetheless, we need to keep those purchasers funding our debt, because if they don't, we're going to have a hard time.
That's so true. So, yeah, please interrupt the program wherever we're at if that auction results come in, even if we're in another segment. If you could just interrupt and bring that to us, that's
okay.
Great. Good. What's on the calendar? I think we got a fairly active calendar this week, do we
well,
not?
We do. For such a short week, we have a lot in 3 days. Everything is going to be on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today we've already gone over. Tomorrow we have the Fed minutes from the last Fed meeting. We would not expect a whole lot of information to come from there that would be a new or different kind of information. The 5-year auctions tomorrow. Wednesday we have durable orders, which is a big economic indicator, as well as core PCE, which is a very important measure of inflation in the eyes of the Fed. So we'll watch that very closely, and we have a treasury auction on Wednesday of 7-year. I did just get the result. CNBC is becoming famous for grading the auctions, and the grade they gave this one was B. A little over 3-to-1 bid-to-cover ratio, and don't have indirect bidding numbers yet. But anyway, not a bad auction, not a great auction, and like I said earlier, not too terribly significant as it relates to mortgage rates. But one thing that has become significant, Dave, is the value of the dollar. You know, it's significant in that it is helping to push the stock market higher.
Yes.
The stock market really likes this falling dollar, but I wanted to bring it up. It got attention last week from the Fed Chief Bernanke, in his comments on Monday, addressed the dollar, which was kind of unusual. They don't usually pay much attention to that. And in his comments, Davey said that the dollar was something that they were watching, but reiterated his primary objective is jobs and inflation. Right, and but the dollar is important to a couple things in the mortgage world, and I want to emphasize, you know, that aspect. The dollar being low causes foreign goods to cost more. Foreign goods costing more can be inflationary. So that's and investors hate inflation. Investors of 30-year fixed rate mortgages hate inflation. The other thing is, and it may be even more significant, is the fact that a low dollar and a falling dollar causes foreign investors of our mortgage-backed securities to need to have a higher yield on them to overcome not only the inflationary aspects of you know, what they're trying to earn, but also the fact that the dollars that they get later on may be worth less than the dollars they would get today. So that's also important because of the Fed's purchase program coming at an end in March. You know, we got to find lots of investors that can replace the Fed. Foreign investors will be more likely to buy if the dollar's not falling than if the dollar is improving. So it's kind of a roundabout way.
Yeah, I think we need to have a whole segment on this, and I think we are in a future program. So anyone listening in, is either the next week or the following week, we're going to go diving into the significance of the dollar and its and what it's going to do to interest rates, and more importantly, not only just interest rates, but the enticing foreign investors to continue to play an active role in the market. And Joe, that's such a big issue, and there's a lot of discussion on it, but I'm not sure that it has been discussed within the realm of rates and what we can anticipate and how it's going to impact rates. And I think it's important to have that discussion. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else on the rate segment? Again, I'm by the way, for all you listening, I am up in Minnesota, and so I'm dialed in. I don't have all the normal technology. I'm looking at some aspects of it. But if you do not have the ability to go in and look at the markets, certainly there is a time, never has there been a time like this, where it's so important that you see and have up to the minute, up to the second information, what's going on, especially as you're figuring out what to do with your pipeline. And so this is such a valuable service. And, Joe, I just thank you each week for coming on the line and talking to us and bringing us this brief update. And we're going to take a quick break and let you hear a little more information, how you can get this information on a regular basis. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Dave.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLand delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLand, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLand today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Well, I tell you, I made a major boo-boo at the beginning of the program. I forgot to tell everyone. Stay tuned all the way through this program. We got a special guest, a good friend, Glenn Corso, who's the managing director of the Community Mortgage Banking Project. It's a significant initiative that's underway. We want you to hear all about it, so stay all the way tuned to the program. We have Glenn on for about 15-20 minutes towards the end of the program. It's very important that you listen to what's going on. But without further ado, we turn to our resident expert on all that's going on legislatively, Alice Alvey, president of Mortgage U. Thank you so much for what you do each week to digest all these issues. I mean, have you gone cross-eyed yet? I mean, have you had your eyes checked with the volumes of what you're having to read?
Oh, no, we got spreadsheets and links now. Oh, it's crazy, the paperwork we have to track right now. But let's run through it,
Alice. Bring us up to date. What's the latest?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. Fortunately, we haven't had a ton of movement on some of the bills that we're watching, but here's the latest on what we are watching right now. It has had a little movement. Some of it's just in the press. So we've got H.R. 3146, which is the 21st Century FHA Housing Act of 2009. Now, we've seen some additional sponsors get added to this bill. That's usually a sign that maybe it'll get some legs. This is the one that's going to give the Secretary some broader authority. We'll give them some new staff and funds for technology. So we're definitely for this one. We want to see this one move forward, so it's good to see a little movement there. We also have H.R. 3706, the FHA Taxpayer Protection Act of 2009. This one hasn't gone anywhere. It's the one that would require the 5% down payment on an FHA instead of what we've got now with the 3.5%. But Secretary Donovan did speak at the end of last week, and he was indicating that they're actively looking at raising premiums and minimum down payments for borrowers on FHAs. For those of you who might not be aware, it's already in writing. The Secretary has authority to raise upfront mortgage insurance premiums as far as 3%. So we'll watch and see kind of where they go with this, whether they like the 5% or if it's just an MIP increase to make sure the fund's solvent. Dave, I know we were talking about this before the show a little bit.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you shouldn't look at the significance of what that can do when we have already the good chance and interest rates are going higher, and that the fact that FHA is representing such a significant part of the market, to have FHA now increasing this, it really starts making you wonder what is going to be the straw on the camel's back that just really, you know, gets the undesirable results, the unintended consequences. While they're trying to protect the taxpayer, we're papering this deal in such a way where it could actually have a significant impact on the overall on the market. So.
Yeah, you can make an argument that the upfront MIP in particular, you know, is financed into the loan amount, but all that does is then start to change the LTV. So are they looking at that they have to change it to a 5% down payment, and because in turn they're raising the upfront MIP, because the two together will still get you back to a 98-99 LTV, you know, combined. So I think we just have to watch that going forward. It does seem like there's something that's going to come out of that. So everybody heads up, and we'll watch that one for you. We are also watching Senate Bill 2746, the Too Big to Fail. Reportedly, we've got some companion legislation out there that came out of committee at the end of last week to be able to say, you know, are they going to be able to break up a big bank, depending on who the they is who decides that the bank's too big, right? That's the infamous question there. Who's the
they? I think that could be interesting. It's going to relate to our last one. We have Glenn on the program to talk about we're seeing such a surge in looking at community banks. Another topic for a little later on the program, but I just want to footnote in on that.
Yeah. Well, and then our last two things that, you know, again, there's lots out there, but the proposed rules, just your countdown. Now, we've been giving you the countdown for the Reg Z Home Secure Credit. This is the one that has the comment period that expires 30 days, folks. Here's the simple way to get on the website. Google this, Federal Reserve Proposals for Comment. That first link then will appear for you to go in and put in your comments to this proposed rule. This is the one that's going to change ARM disclosures, change APR calculations, require a final till at least 3 days of closing, but ultimately the one that we've talked a lot about in previous shows is prohibition of steering and the LO compensation restrictions that will be in there. So get your voice heard on that one.
Where's the one that has the FAQs that are out there that are just lighting you up like a Christmas tree right now?
Oh, RESPA. Oh, I'm so...
RESPA.
Oh, I'm mad now. I'm an FHA supporter, and the last FAQ they issued has something in it that just made me angry. We can talk about that in the hot topics.
That's too big a topic to go in this short segment, so let's save that one. Alice, thank you so much. Anything more that we need to digest in this short legislative update segment?
The last thing is H.R. 3126 regarding the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. It's got one more committee to go through, so we're watching that, and we may see something about that on the House floor in the coming week. So who knows what can happen over the holidays, over the next month.
Well, you have two choices, listeners. You can go out there and try to catch and read everything out there, digest all that, or you can tune in each week to Lickin' on Lending. Alice does an outstanding job of giving a really, really thorough, up-to-the-minute digest of everything. Alice, thank you so much. Let's take a
brief
break,
and
we'll be right back.
I can't wait to hear what Alice has to say about being so mad.
Stay tuned. We're about ready to find out.
Once in a while.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Thank you so much, man. For those of you that are just wondering, Alice is the most even-temperamented person. She's just always so pleasant and positive. And when she gets fired up, folks, about some issue, like she was on the pre-program conference call we had, I want to tell you, both Joe and I were looking at each other going, whoa, you gotta, can't wait to get to this segment. Alice, tell us what's in those FAQs that have you so fired up.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, we got two, of course. You get one on the 17th, and then we all received another FAQ on November 19th. And here's the thing. We have said in a couple of shows about the fact that the new good faith estimate has its flaws, but you know what? Let's work with it. You know, I'm an FHA supporter. I want them to be successful. We got to say let the good faith estimate, the intentions are there to try and disclose fairly to customers and so forth, and I get consistency. But we've also said it's got holes. It has gaps.
Yeah.
And so, and we've been teaching loan officers, and we've been faced with a lot of loan officers going, well, what about this scenario? What about my pre-quals? What about, I mean, there's 100 questions. And there's stuff that's missing. So, for example, if I'm a consumer, I want something that clearly shows me how much do I need to bring to closing. HUD issued an FAQ that says, so the question is, may additional pages be added to the GFE to allow for all charges to be shown? If so, is it an addendum or an extension of page 2? And HUD says no. No additional pages or addendum may be added. Now, I understand we're not trying to change the GFE. We just how can they stop a lender or, say, an originator from trying to make a useful tool to give to a customer that says, here's what you're really going to need to bring to closing. Here's how tax prorations and seller contributions, for example, impact your costs. And so I'm really concerned that this FAQ is trying to lock us down on making origination tools.
That is significant, Alice. I mean, there was two issues. Let's get both of them out, and then, Joe, let's jump into this thing because it helps sort this out a bit for our listeners.
Yeah, it seems to me like there's a statement there saying we don't trust what you'll do. That whatever you might do will be confusing to the consumer when that's not at all the case.
Yeah, and the conflict is there's another question underneath it. May a loan originator alter the GFE by adding a signature line? And then the answer is no. How can I not make a form? You want me to prove I gave it to the customer, and now you're telling me I can't put a signature line on it. So then they proceed to say, make an addendum that says, customer's acknowledging that they've received it. So one FAQ says no addendums. And the next one, the most logical thing, put signatures right on it, says, make it an addendum. I just think it's, they're starting to show maybe a little bit of, like you said, Joe, trust or lack of what a loan officer, this is consumer. This is not loan officer. This is consumer-friendly issues, to me anyway. So that's why I'm on fire.
Well, I think that there's a lot of questions. And for those of you that want to get your questions answered, be sure to email us those questions throughout the week. We try to get those on the program. One of the one of the questions that just arrived, if you heard my cell phone just going off, it was just coming in, was related to this issue. They want to break this down. Okay, explain to what it looks like they're trying to change this too. They're wanting a little more color on this.
Okay, so in the good faith estimate, in the new page 2, we just have one block. We're calling,
yep,
say, for example, block 1 that says origination charges, and it has all these fees behind it, potentially processing, underwriting fees, all behind there. Now, I understand if you don't want us to alter the form to show what might be behind that. What my beef is to make a blanket statement that we can't make addendums. The good faith estimate right now, you can't show a seller credit. So very simply put, I'm giving my customer a piece of paper that says $5,000, $8,000 in closing costs, yet the transfer tax is the seller's responsibility. The seller's agreed to pay $6,000 in costs. And I want to make another sheet of paper as a tool for a consumer that shows, here's what you're really going to need to bring to closing. You know, your good faith may say $8,000, but, however, here's how it's really going to look on the HUD 1 net out of your pocket. And that's all we're talking about, that we want to have the flexibility to make. The 1003, the loan application, just doesn't get there.
Nope.
Not simple, anyway. Not in a simple format. So I don't know. Did that explain?
Yeah,
it?
Well, any other questions that come in, you know, from the listeners out there, please send them in. We're going to get this issue clarified. The other thing that is so important is how to get to your senators and how to get to them and talk to them. Quite frankly, if you're calling regarding anything other than health care, they'd be thrilled to talk to you about something. They're getting barraged on health care issues. So the fact that you're calling them on this, you're probably actually going to get a chance to talk to a staffer. Otherwise, you're going to hear that their voicemail box is full because everyone is barraging everyone inside the Beltway with all their opinions about the healthcare issues. So I think it's so important. Again, when you're calling, you can't just say things like we don't like this. Well, what don't you like? You got to be very specific. And again, our next guest is going to go into, I think they published something that was repeated, if I understand correctly, up at the Michigan Mortgage Bankers Conference, Alice, where they gave a very good explanation of how to be effective when communicating with your legislatures.
Well, I think that is important for people, and that's all I'm trying to say. You know, they come out with things sometimes from a lender viewpoint or banker viewpoint, and in this particular case, I just think HUD needs more focus on what is the consumer viewpoint. The other thing about these FAQs is they don't address wholesale and retail scenarios very well. So it's a work in progress, everyone.
Yep, and I think the FAQs, you can go in. How can they put in their comments again and give us a website?
Well, for the Federal Reserve part, that's the piece I gave before.
Right.
For HUD comments,
HUD comments is what I'm talking about.
Contact, you know, there is a HUD liaison FHA liaison, I should say, in many areas, and I'll have to dig up a good number for you. I have some of my contacts, but we'll have to follow up with our listeners.
We'll have that out there for the folks, for the listeners next week. It's just so much. Thank you so much. Joe, do you have any more on this before we...
Let me give you something else to call in about, because it's a new issue kind of that's been brought up. The House Financial Services Committee and a representative from our great state here in Texas proposed greater oversight of the Fed, which has some good things to it. But, you know, the downside, if their greater oversight of the Fed means it becomes a politicized operation... Very great concerns on my part, and more importantly upon many of the Fed governors' part, who would say that if this becomes a political environment, we are going to lose the full faith of those who count on us to do what we're supposed to do. For instance, the Fed will have to raise rates sometime soon in order to fight inflation. And when they do, that's going to come at the cost of jobs. And if this is a political process, that cost of jobs may be too much for the politicians to allow.
Yep.
Very grave concerns, I think, on the part of the investing community. If the Fed loses their ability to fight inflation, it's going to cause rates to go higher. So,
well, we need those global investors to be able to
absolutely
go through this transition that we're expecting or will see in the spring.
Yeah, it's not only global investors. I think it's anyone who's going to invest in long-term assets needs to be able to count on the Fed to be able to fight inflation. And politicizing that that event will be will cause people to lose some faith.
You know what? Our president was just President Obama was just in China and got a pretty severe lecture about what results have been as a result of Chinese investing in specifically mortgage backs. What are you going to do about it? This is going to be such a upfront issue. I mean, we're protecting consumers. We're trying to make sure that we do so, but at the same time, we've got to keep this market flowing smoothly, and we have to be aware of the unintended consequences, I guess what I'm trying to say, as we start looking at this thing. Because it's very distinctly possible that, we're going to, kill the very goose that's laying the eggs for the recovery. And use something else, but that's really the case. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word and with our
Mortgage
special
Banking
guest,
Solutions
Glenn Corso.
Is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, are making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Thank you so much. And normally I'm in Austin, Texas, but we're up here in great, cloudy, wet Minnesota, helping my parents move into a retirement home. That's another whole story, another segment of life that many of us just get to experience one time. But anyway, that's where I'm at, normally in Austin. But it's so good to have with us a special guest, a longstanding friend of mine, Glenn Corso. Glenn is known by many within the mortgage banking circles for his many, many years of contribution, going way back to his days at the MBA, where he's chief legal counsel. But Glenn and his team are moving forward and working and looking forward to where the industry is going. He's been very proactive to make a difference in our industry. We're thrilled to have you, Glenn, on the program. Welcome.
Well, thanks, Dave.
And you're out in the San Francisco area.
Yes, that's right.
Well, good to have you on the program. You're doing something today called the Community Mortgage Banking Project. Glenn, what is this, and what is the purpose of you forming this, establishing this project? Give these listeners a brief introduction to what you're doing.
Sure. So the Community Mortgage Banking Project is an advocacy organization that represents independent mortgage banking companies. We formed it earlier this year, essentially to give a voice in Washington, D.C. on both the legislative and regulatory front for independent mortgage banking companies.
Boy, that's so important this day as we cover the issues. You heard us on the program earlier cover the host of issues, and it's just got to be almost one of the most impossible things, Glenn, to stay on top of all this. You have several of your partners, I believe, that are located in the Beltway, are they not?
Yeah, that's right. So there's essentially three people involved. It's myself and then Pete Mills, who has been in the industry for a long time, most recently ran the Washington, D.C. office for Countrywide, and then Bob Engelstad, who was a senior VP of risk for Fannie Mae for about 20 years or so.
That's tremendous. I mean, I've been in the office with these guys, meeting them. It's an outstanding group and an outstanding organization. We're thrilled to be in partnership with them and working with them. Describe your member companies to me, if you could, and give us, you know, how many do you have and what kind of businesses do they operate, Glenn?
Well, we have about 32 companies right now who are our members, and they range in size, if you measure them by origination volume, from about $300 million annually to over $10 billion annually. All of the companies are FHA-approved lenders. They have a full EAGLE. They all have at least one. Some of them have multiple warehouse lines, so they actually close and fund in their own name. And they're either approved by Fannie and or Freddie as a seller. And then, in addition, we take a look at their quality when we check on FHA's Neighborhood Watch, and we look for a compare ratio that's in the moderate range. We stay away from companies that have very high compare ratios that indicates they're having problems in their lending operations. So that's our membership base. Interestingly enough, Dave, they do about 50% FHA VA and 50% conventional conforming, and most of them sell their loans servicing released. Very few of the independent companies that are our members actually retain servicing, and I think out of the companies, most of them are privately owned. But there are a couple that are subsidiaries of community banks.
One thing that we're seeing, and again, I'm going to ask Alice and Joe to jump in here and ask some questions with you, because it's so important that we bring out the full all the information about what you're going about this important initiative and this important project. Excuse me. One of the things that we're seeing, Glenn, as in our consulting business, is a good number of community bankers contacting us about an interest of getting involved in the mortgage industry, and they're trying to figure out how can I do this without, you know, finding myself having to face an angry regulator, and that is a significant issue for a concern for many of them. And for those that are needing additional capital, they're contacting us for, you know, how can we get the capital raised to get in this, but they're really spotting an opportunity. I think it's very insightful that not only you're focused at independent, privately owned mortgage bankers, but also the community lenders, because we're starting to see them come into the market on an increasing basis. Any feel to what the – is this a momentum? Is this a short-term fad? Is this something that you really think is going to be a sustainable trend, Glenn, the community banks specifically?
Well, Dave, I think that it could very well be a sustainable trend. You know, the interesting thing is that the independent mortgage banker segment really provides about 40% of all the loans that are made in this country, and they do about 55% of all the FHA loans. I heard you earlier in the program talking about the importance of the FHA program, certainly to first-time home buyers for sure, and this group has really consistently made a majority of the FHA loans that are originated in this country. We really have a situation now where we're developing what I would call two markets. And by that I mean this. We have a very good diversity among lenders in the primary market dealing face-to-face with consumers. But yet when all is said and done and you look at the statistics, you see that increasingly in the end, the market is being dominated by a very small handful of big bank-owned companies. So while Wells Fargo and Chase and Bank of America may dominate the statistics, in fact, they rely upon a very broad range of companies in order to get the product that they ultimately securitize and sell.
And it's really that group that is really under siege here, Glenn. It's really what it feels like. And if you know, we appreciate the MBA and all that they're trying to do to represent all the interests in the industry, but I mean, it's really a very difficult balancing act for them as they look at their various interests and all the various members. I think it's so important that this initiative, this project specifically, really get voice in the market. Alice and Joe, have any questions that you want to jump in on with?
Well, I have a question, Glenn. I was looking at the brochure that you guys have. It has great information, you know, about what the implications are for the independent mortgage banker, and we see that every day as well. And a lot of them are great customers of ours, and I love that segment of the market. It really, like you said, it's really the on the ground local market. So my question is, with all of these things going on, what do you see as the group's first priority legislatively?
Well, the group's first priority legislatively is to make sure that the mortgage banking business model survives. And I say that without trying to be overly dramatic, but we're facing a situation right now where we have legislation pending in both the House and the Senate that have what they call risk retention requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And these risk retention requirements would essentially turn mortgage banking companies into either – you can say on the one hand mortgage investors, or on the other hand they turn them into like mortgage insurance companies. But essentially it would require an originator to retain a certain portion of the risk on every single loan that they originate. And what that means is if that loan were to go bad for any reason, the borrower loses their job, there's an unexpected death of the principal wage earner, et cetera, they would suffer part of the risk of loss if the loan goes to foreclosure. Most independent mortgage banking companies, all of the ones that we work with certainly, are not capitalized to deal with that kind of situation. And so as a result, it would put them in a corner and potentially force them out of business. So I have to tell you that right now, right this moment, that is our number one priority.
So how do you communicate to a legislator? Because I totally agree with you that this risk retention is just it's going to have such a negative impact on the market, not to mention they haven't even really come up with a solution on how they're going to do it. So how do you communicate that to a legislator so they understand the consumer impact? What are the best points people should be making to their congressman right now?
Well, I think the best points that you can be making are, first of all, to point out that the companies that are originating loans today are not the ones that caused the problems in the past. And to talk about the kind of loan production you're doing, the number of borrowers you're serving, putting people into homes or refinancing their existing mortgages, and to talk about the impact that this would have not only on your business, but then the fact that it would create far fewer choices for consumers and ultimately lead to an increase in the price that consumers pay for their mortgage credit. I think most congressmen and senators, once they start to hear that message, really begin to understand the implications of what they're proposing. That's kind of the sort of the strategy we're employing. We're both sending letters to the Hill. We're getting our members to call their senators and congressmen to communicate that directly. And then next week we're planning a fly-in of members so that they can actually visit these folks face-to-face and deliver the message.
Glenn, this is Joe, and we talked a little bit about the risk retention provisions last week, and quite frankly had to sit back and say we have no idea how this risk, this 10%, or now I understand it's been reduced to 5%, would be allocated among the various people that are in the origination chain, like the originator sells to a middleman who sells the servicing release to one of the big banks, and they are the one that the security is issued in, under. Do you have an insight as to how that risk would be allocated among the various players?
You know, I wish I could tell you that I did, but unfortunately I don't. The reason for that is because the way the legislation is drafted right now, it leaves quite a bit of discretion to the regulators. And so we really won't know how that risk gets allocated, and as you very correctly described the chain, we won't know how it affects that entire chain until we see the regulations, which could be a year or a year and a half or longer from now. So you're creating a period of prolonged uncertainty, and that's one of the arguments we're using as well as this legislation is considered in the Congress.
It would be difficult to see a strong flow of capital to an industry with that kind of uncertainty, wouldn't it?
It really would, and as a matter of fact, one of the things that we've been trying to drive home is the fact that we have some members right now. We have a member in Michigan who had been planning along with his partners to make a major investment in a call center in order to increase their origination volume. He has put that investment on hold. That was going to be a call center that was going to be constructed, employing, 100-plus people. And instead, they feel in this climate with this risk retention issue sort of hanging that they don't think it's prudent to move ahead with that investment. So we're trying to make the point to people, look, this has a real economic cost, this uncertainty. You see the unemployment statistics. Michigan is a hard-hit state. You want to be encouraging investments like this that'll increase employment, and instead you're discouraging them.
The unintended consequences of the actions we take to, quote-unquote, protect the consumer.
Well, and I think it's so important, the point that you make, Glenn, about it's not the independent mortgage banker that created the product. The big banks are the ones that created the product.
Boy, is that the truth. We make the point over and over again that a mortgage banker cannot originate any loan without having a purchaser for that loan, and because they are not investors. So, in fact, the products that were originated because there were individuals or institutions that were willing to buy those loans or buy securities backed by those loans. That's not to excuse what took place in the 05 to 07 time period by any means, but it's just that you shouldn't condemn a business model because of poor actions by certain institutions or individuals.
And those are the very institutions that appear to be able to survive and thrive under some of the pending legislation. And so I think the example, Glenn, of the call center, the business owner in Michigan that's expanding the call center, I mean, in a state, as you said, to underscore and highlight that point, which is in such desperate need of putting people back to work, here you are. In effect, have just wiped out 100 job opportunities for people that are desperately in need of jobs up there.
Oh boy, that is absolutely the truth. And the fact is that as we've said before, the FHA program depends upon the independent mortgage banking segment for a majority of their production. 40% of the loans, all loans made, originate with the independent segment. And so what you're doing is you're placing at risk a big delivery system for affordable, stable mortgage products to consumers with this misguided notion that there's got to be risk retention. And the ironic thing is that so many of our members and other independent mortgage bankers point out that they have paid out millions of dollars in terms of loans that were found to have not been originated properly, that they were responsible for, or loans where perhaps underwriting standards weren't as followed as closely as they should have. And they have stood behind their representations and warranties with money out of their own pockets. It's not, FDIC insured
right.
deposits or anything like that. They certainly didn't get any TARP money, so no bailouts here. They have paid with their own money and stood behind their representations and warranties with their own capital.
Well, so, Glenn, based on the emails that are coming into me and the texts that are coming into me right at the moment, you're definitely hitting on a nerve and a need that's in our industry. So let me just read a couple of the questions. There's a couple of comments that says, go for it, Glenn. We're supporting you. It sounds like someone that might be a member there that's out there. That was a very positive, supportive comment. One voice is, we are so desperate to get a voice in the industry that will represent the small businessman. Another one just wrote, says, where's my bailout? I'm the guy that's been standing back and guaranteeing all these interests, and who do I have helping me in the industry support this, you know, the big guys from just sticking it back to us. And that's the frustration that's out there. And so many people have been wading through these issues and been fighting through these without 1 ounce of government support. We're all for the free economy. We're all for independent owners, and we cannot squish these guys. It is so important that people join up. One question came in from a mortgage broker. I'm a mortgage broker in the state of Florida. Is my organization something that should join yours, join up with the community, with the community lending project?
Unfortunately, we're not open to brokers. When we first founded the organization, we talked to the independent mortgage bankers that were kind of our founding members, and they indicated they really wanted to make it a requirement that each company have a warehouse line and that they close and fund loans in their own name.
Yep, I think that's so important that people understand that. But here's the deal. You should be asking your mortgage banker, that you're Mr. Mortgage Broker, that you're listening to this program, are you a part of this, and get them to get in and make sure that flow of funding for your organization remains in place. Glenn, another question that came in, if we can hit you with some random questions. Do you have a position one way or another on third-party originations, the broker channel? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, a number of our members have wholesale operations. I'd say right now about two-thirds of what they do is retail and one-third is wholesale. Some of our members have a very high percentage of wholesale. So from our standpoint, we think that can be a profitable and a very safe business channel, and we think it needs very strict controls. And you need very, very strong due diligence on the quality side. But our members say, look, we've done wholesale business for years and years, and we work with quality brokers, people who we know and we know produce quality product, and we don't have any issue with it. So from that standpoint, we think it's a business segment that deserves to be preserved into the future. But, of course, you can't be lax about it. You've got to be very diligent.
Well, I think it's so important. I mean, it goes back. The bad guys have probably already gone out of the business, and we're kind of legislating out the rearview mirror as we're trying to move forward in the future. And, unfortunately, we're putting the independent mortgage banker in the sights and bearing a lot of the consequences. They have already endured an enormous amount in this industry to survive and go to this point, enduring the repurchases that have come from the big banks. We've got to keep them healthy, and we need to keep them strong. Glenn, let's talk again. If someone wants to join you or is interested in getting more information about joining your project or becoming a member, how do they do so?
They can go to our website, www.communitymortgagebankingproject.com.
That is so important. Repeat that one more time.
www.communitymortgagebankingproject.com.
Good. Well, I encourage you out there that are listeners to go in there, take a look at that. If you're a mortgage broker, make your wholesaler aware of it. Make sure they're a part of that organization, and that way, so that you can keep your funding in place. If you're an independent mortgage banker, and I know that represents the vast majority of the listeners out there, independent mortgage bankers, you should be really paying serious attention to these initiatives. Get a hold of them. And, Glenn, you're not going to find a more connected group of individuals than this group when it comes to what's going on in the Beltway and representing. We spend our time, Alice spends hours digesting all that's out there. These guys are in the front lines. Our goal is to bring you the information, listeners, to what's going on in the legislative world and updates on rates, what you can do. These guys are actually on the front lines and the actual battlefield fighting the issues that are so critical. Glenn, thank you so much for being a part of the program today. Alice and Joe, do you have any parting comments or questions?
I do have one question. Since we have a little bit of time here, I just wanted to check, Glenn, you know, it really is a segment that gets kind of caught in the middle between the bankers and the brokers and a lot of discussions and legislation, and it doesn't really seem to have its own statistics. Do you see that as this group evolves, it'll help you gather some data that'll be good to present to, you know, Congress and senators about how valuable this group is?
Oh, yes, Alice. As a matter of fact, we've really started to do that already. Some of the statistics I presented on a high level right at the start, where I talked about the mix between retail and wholesale and the volume and things like that, that's one thing that we emphasize strongly to our members. We say to them, look, you've always got to emphasize when you interact with a representative or a senator, here's the number of people I've served in your district or in your state, the loans I've made, the people I've helped to achieve home ownership or to refinance their existing mortgage obligation. So those statistics are really a huge, huge source of strength whenever you're talking with a legislator.
Boy, Glenn, I tell you, I cannot believe the messages, the tweets that are coming in, the emails are coming in. This has been an invaluable, valuable segment on the program. I think people are going to be dialing in and listening to it more. We hope to have you back. And would you be willing to come back and, as you're developing things, and give us a kind of a progress report, Glenn, of what's going on?
Oh, I'd be thrilled to do that, and I really appreciate you allowing me some time to speak today.
Well, Joe's the kind of the polite, quiet one. He's from Texas all the way through, Glenn, and so he's the polite one, so I always want to carve out a little space. Joe, did we miss anything? Did we get all your questions answered?
No, there'd be lots of questions to ask because it's such a vital role and it's such a void. So, Glenn, I applaud you for filling that void, and I hope that your group grows and succeeds because it's going to help the rest of us. I mean, we're all in businesses that count on mortgage bankers and loan originators and a viable activity. So best of luck to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, Joe is the past president of the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association, been integral working with independents as well as the banks and the community banks. We're just so thrilled to have you, Glenn, be a part of it. We will have you back. A quick update. Last week I told everybody that I was at the Distress Servicing Conference. I had a brief opener, and then thank you, Allison and Joe, for handling the program. We had a great guest last week. A lot of requests are coming back to get Tony back on, Alice, so we need to do that, schedule a time. There is also the Distress Servicing Conference was just an amazing conference, which talks about what's going on in servicing. In future radio programs, we're going to be talking about the future of servicing. Joe and I were talking about this, and Alice, of course, was chiming in. But Joe and I have a huge interest on the servicing side of it, looking at what's going on with the trends within loan servicing. We are seeing what's setting up to be an unprecedented shift or market shift of who owns the servicing. Stay tuned for future programs. We're going to be talking about that. I hope to get my partner, Andy Schell, on the program. He actually was able to attend the conference all the way through and has a lot of pertinent information. After I had to leave the conference early, fly to New York, I have an interesting report. A lot of liquidity is out there for the community banks to go in. We're working with a group to try to raise capital for an independent mortgage banking company, and it's really interesting to hear the thoughts of those on Wall Street, those that are in New York City, and also we met with another group in the Philadelphia area. Very interesting what's going on. Their interest is certainly focusing on community banks. If you're an independent mortgage banker and you're talking, or if you haven't started reaching out, talking to the community banks in your area, you should do so. We highly recommend that. Especially you're going to find that a number of them are struggling to get, needing to increase their capitalization. And we're working with several banks, two of which are in Michigan, up there in your area, Alice. And we're working with them aggressively to get them the necessary funding. They have a desire to get in the industry, provide liquidity in the form of warehouse lines, get active involved. They're looking at forming relationships with existing well-run mortgage banking companies. There's a lot of initiatives there. Well, we've just about used up our time for this program. We thank you so much for tuning in each week. We encourage you to pass this program around to your friends, your peers in the industry. We exist. Our whole job is to bring you each week information. This is a public service. We're not getting paid for this. We're doing this as a public service to the industry to help them digest all that's going on and bring important guests like we had today. Thank you so much again, Glenn, for being a part of it. And, of course, Alice and Joe, you are such an important part of what we do. Appreciate it. Stay tuned. We are going to give you more information in the weeks ahead. Servicing, warehouse lines, liquidity, it's all coming up. Pass it around. Thank you so much for being a part of the program, folks. We ask you to tell your friends and family, well, family within the mortgage industry anyway, about this. Have a great week. Tune in next week. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com.
Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.